Our readings today have a clear common thread. Eating and drinking, a subject close to your preacher's heart, and to yours also, perhaps. From the two Old Testament readings set for today, Psalm 34 invites its readers to taste and see that the Lord is good, and assures them that while lions may grow weak and hungry, those who fear the Lord, who seek his will, shall lack no good thing. In their seeking, they will be fed spiritually, and it will show in their refraining from speaking falsehood, but doing good, and in their seeking peace. The book of Proverbs has a personification of wisdom. Chapter 8 has wisdom saying, I have been established from everlasting, and that before God made the heavens and the earth, I was there. At the time of creation, says wisdom, I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Christians, unsurprisingly, see this as a reference to Christ, God's word, through whom creation was spoken into existence. So when in today's reading from chapter 9, we hear wisdom building her house, furnishing a table with meat and wine, and calling the simple to come and eat with her, that they may live and walk in the way of understanding, then we might well see a harbinger of Holy Communion, the Eucharist. The feeding, like the one in Psalm 34, is to be a spiritual one, a coming to God to be fed with knowledge of how to live lives of goodness and holiness, so that we shall lack no good thing. This is not to say that God doesn't care about our material needs. He made us material beings with physical bodies, and Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. But the true bread, the bread that brings eternal life, is a spiritual feeding. It is this feeding that we hear Jesus speak about in today's Gospel reading, as we continue this long and complex conversation that Jesus has with the crowd following the feeding of the 5,000. He fed them with material bread by miraculous means, and that sign should have told them much about him. But they have followed him across the lake, he knows, because they want another feeding, another belly full of bread. In the conversation, he tries to lead them from the material to the spiritual, telling them that he is the real bread, the bread that brings eternal life. In today's reading, he uses very material, earthy language to describe exactly how he will be that bread that leads to eternal life. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This language, especially that of drinking blood, would have been especially shocking to Jesus' Jewish listeners. One of the main tenets of Jewish dietary law, of kosher regulations, was and is the avoidance of drinking blood. The blood represents the very life of the animal and belongs to God, and was to be thoroughly drained from all meat before consumption. Jesus, of course, is not inviting them or us to cannibalism, but he is pointing out that just as bread is broken before being eaten to allay earthly hunger temporarily, so his body will be broken and his blood poured out on the cross, so that he can be the bread that meets all of our spiritual needs forever, the bread of life. Through faith in Jesus and his offering of himself for us, we can be drawn close to him, to be instructed by him, and to learn to live like him and for him. There is a special intimacy about meals. It's where barriers come down. And if someone invites you to a meal, it is a sign of great acceptance. In his earthly life, Jesus invited all those whom society despised to come and eat with him. Look how this man eats with sinners. Fortunately for us, he still eats with sinners, as we shall prove shortly. And he gave us this special meal at the heart of the Christian faith as a symbol of unity, unity with him and unity with each other. We are not to despise any of our fellow Christians, but just to be glad that we have been allowed in. We are still the simple who have come to God to be fed by him and to learn understanding. But it is far more wonderful, far more intimate than that. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them, says Jesus. Jesus and the Father promise to make their home within us in the power of the Spirit. All the barriers between God and humans are down now because of what Christ did at Calvary. As the life of Jesus drained out of him on the cross, so the life of God drains into us. We are to be that closely connected, like the vine and the branches, we might say. Our learning to be like God and to live for him is not like trying to take something into us from the outside. It is more like allowing the life of God that is already within us to get out and become more and more visible to those around us. And being like God to others is primarily about learning to increase in love and generosity. And the Eucharist has a big part to play in that, since it leads us regularly to confront the extent of God's love and generosity to us, and to increase in gratitude for that love. Gratitude and generosity are flip sides of the same coin. If we are grateful to God for all that he has done for us, it should lead us to be generous towards the needs of others. If we are not very generous, it may be that we are not very grateful. I'm sure I have room for improvement in that respect, but perhaps it's something that we all need to reflect on. Be imitators of God. We heard St. Paul tell the Ephesians in last week's reading, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We contemplate that fragrant offering at every Eucharist, and as we do, may we, as St. Paul encourages us today, be always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had learnt to give thanks to God for everything, and in all circumstances. Eucharist means thanksgiving, and at the heart of it is that simple act in the upper room, where the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, and on the night that he knew he was going to be betrayed, took bread and gave thanks to God. In the Eucharist, let us learn to give thanks to God for everything, and may that thanksgiving be a channel for the very life of God to flow out from us to others in ever-increasing generosity. Amen.